Welcome to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, soap making, small business, and so much more. Let's get dirty. Welcome to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, where soap making meets small business. I'm Margaret, and I'm joined by my incredible co-hosts, Jesse and Shauna. Today, we're diving into a topic that hits close to home for many creators and entrepreneurs, dealing with copycats and handling intellectual theft professionally. Whether it's someone duplicating your unique designs or small businesses unknowingly infringing on big name brands like Disney, there's a lot to unpack. We'll be talking about copyright, trademarks, and the steps you can take to protect your work while staying in the right on the right side of the law. It's all about creating an original brand and standing out for the right reasons. So grab a cup of coffee, your favorite notebook, and let's get into it. Let me help you understand intellectual property, okay? So here are some definitions and some examples. Copyright protects original works of authorship, like designs and writing and artwork. And trademark protects brand identifiers like names, logos, and slogans. Whereas patents protect inventions and methods. For some examples might be, we know maybe some soap makers or somebody using Disney-themed molds or fragrances with trademark names, or t-shirt makers selling products with copyrighted characters or logos on them. But why does it matter? You've got legal implications, lawsuits, fines, business closures. I know that some website hosting will just cancel your shop. Mm-hmm. And then there's your ethical considerations, like just respect for the hard work of the original creators, right?
Right.
So, Shauna, this is important to you, obviously, because you wanted to talk about this today. So,
right. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it is because we do focus on small business. And as small business owners in all these different forms, we have all seen small business creators selling products that are, you know, Disney themed, Harry Potter themed, whatever.
Right.
And I think that there is this misconception among small business owners that I am too small for them to notice, so I'm going to fly under the radar.
Right.
Some may not even realize it's a problem because you see so many of these things around all over the place. People buy the rights to be able to use these characters or images or names on their products, and they see it so much of it that they think, "Yeah, what's one more thing?" Or this is really popular, I'm going to capitalize on it, or such. Just recently, someone asked me, you know, "Hey, do you have any bath bombs themed for this?" And I was like, "I do not. That's a great idea, but I'd have to be very careful how I present it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't use the name necessarily."
Mm-hmm.
There was a point in time where a group said, if you made Disney-themed soaps, we would promote them. And I said, well, you have to be very careful. You could do things that are inspired by, but you have mm-hmm. to, it's a very fine line, and it's one that I personally don't really want to tread. For instance, Disney, you know, you can make something with mouse ears, but you can't necessarily call it Mickey or Minnie,
right,
or anything like that. You have to be very careful. People have lost their businesses. They're mm-hmm. small businesses, like you said.
Well, you know, a lot of that's a common misconception that, you know, I'm too small to get caught, or
right.
if I change it slightly, it's legal. These are things that are
how much you have to change it, though. That's the question.
Yeah, or I didn't know it was copyrighted, right? Uh-huh. So, you know, if you're skirting that line, you should probably conduct thorough research
right.
on copyrights and trademarks before creating the products, because you don't want to create something and then you're shut down, or then they sue you, and not only are you shut down, but now you owe someone money that you don't have, right?
That's kind of like about a year or so ago when that Tumblr maker, it was all over the news. She made a mm-hmm. Tumblr and it had Luke Combs on it.
Mm.
And the company that markets for Luke Combs, they ran across it. And they sent her a cease and desist, and, you know, she owed them such and such amount of money and such as that. I mean, she kind of got lucky because Luke Combs actually caught wind of it because of social media, and he dismissed everything. But it's you're never too small to fly under the radar.
Right, and you're not necessarily going to be saved by the person who's
a kind-hearted person, you know.
Right.
Typically, corporations and businesses, they're not so kind and forgiving.
And I remember, so back in the 90s when I was in high school, my first kind of business, my little cottage business, was candle making. And I was on a forum for like a year before I made my own candles. And this was when Yankee candles were huge. Like, they were the top of the top, creme de la creme candles out there, right? That's what everybody wanted. And I remember reading all these posts, these small makers, they would go to markets and then they would get a cease and desist from Yankee Candles because they were using the same fragrance name as Yankee. And Yankee had trademarked those fragrance names. And I remember people getting so mad. And I remember actually myself being mad, being like, why are you targeting all these small business owners? And a lot of small business owners would feel the same way. They're like, hey, you're big enough. I'm not stealing this much from you, right? I'm not selling so much that's really making a dent in your thing. Why are you coming after me?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a legal precedent that if people use it and you don't defend it,
you can lose
they could
it.
Lose the right. And you had that, right, Jesse? You got contacted by someone.
I did. I actually, one of my masculine fragrances, it was originally called, it was called Gunslinger. Right. And, cool name for a soap, very masculine oriented, and it was a really popular selling soap at the time. And there's actually a soap company called like Gunslinger Soap Co. or something or other like that, and they have a trademark on Gunslinger, anything soap related.
Yeah.
And you know, thank goodness this guy was really understanding and such that he emailed me. He said, look, and he sent me a copy of his, you know, paperwork with certain things, you know, redacted. Said, I have a copy, I have a trademark on anything soap related named Gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, I get that, you know, it's a pain in the butt because you've already got labels and such as that. You've got money invested in this. He says, but if I don't defend my trademark, I can lose it. He said, so I just appreciate it if you, you know, change your listings. And, you know, I emailed him back. I'm like, you know, I get it. And, you know, and I did have like $300 worth of labels that I had to throw away. But it is what it is. And thank goodness he was understanding and he wasn't a butthole and was like, oh, I'm going to sue you, because he really could have.
Well, I don't know if they can sue you if they... I think they have to give you a warning first.
Yeah.
Like a cease and desist.
Right. But if she, so, had, she hadn't thrown...
Well, if she had, come after but...
Legally. Exactly.
Right.
But yeah, so, I mean, I had... I'd actually just gotten a stack of labels. And, I mean, like, the day before. So I had, you know, a pile of money invested in labels and such as that. I had to throw them away. And that now I call it, I did my research, it's now called Marksman, which is similar to Gunslinger, you know, so it is what it is, but you got to do your research.
Right, and pretty much every time we come up with a new name, my husband does a search on it to make sure that there's not a trademark or something that we would be violating, so we don't have that situation pop up.
Right, but it can... You're never too small,
right,
to cross that line of copyright infringement or trademark infringement. Sorry,
right.
Trademark. So
you're also never too small to be copied.
You're never too small to be copied, huh, Shauna?
And I think we've all actually experienced that. I actually mentioned in another episode where I posted my Starry Sky scope. Should I say which soap it is? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I posted one of my soaps that I've been making from the start, and about a week and a half later, a big creator posted an almost identical soap with the same name and the same fragrance, and zero credit given to me, but that's okay. I don't know that, I actually no idea if they've made it again since then, but Margaret, I know you've been copied. Jesse, I know you've been copied. I mean, we've all been copied. And it's like I said before, it's hard to be original.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you can tell that it's just a blatant copy of something you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are a lot of people who, it's hard to come up with something original.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to come up with something original. Right. So for example, for me, I saw years and years and years ago, a YouTube video of someone making, a pencil shaped apple, like an apple, pencil shaped apple.
That's
ridiculous.
I was going to say, what a minute, hang on a minute.
A pencil shaped soap, right? So they did it in a single loaf, right? They made, a pencil. They did the layers of their pencil. They poured them in. They didn't, you know, do their layers as the same way that I do my layers. But then at the top of this single loaf, they just poured on a lot of thick, really thick, and they kept sculpting it until it made it into a point. And then they cut it in the regular, like the short and squat wide pencils. And I'm like, I could do that. And I can make it look neat, like more trim and perfect. I could do the perfect layers and I can do it in the slab. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it in the slab and then I cut it. And instead of, you know, wasting all the time trying to pour it up like that, I just cut off the ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually donated all those ends to a farm. And she used them around her farm as soap every time she dealt with the animals, whatever. Anyway, that squirrel.
Squirrel.
So I took my pencil soap, and this was years. This was a really old, like, YouTube video. It wasn't, you know, a recent one. I don't know who it was. And I started making it, and then all of a sudden, everybody's talking about these pencil soaps are so great, blah, 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 whatever. And then a lot of people started making pencil soaps. Mm-hmm. And July was so mad. She was like, all these people are copying you. I'm like, but I didn't invent the pencil soap. I didn't invent it. It's not mine to copy. And like, if I had known who, if that was your video and you made a single loaf of pencils like this, I apologize. I wish I would have given you credit, but I don't know who it was, honestly.
Yeah.
But I did change it. And I did make it in a slab instead. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
You brought the pencil soap back.
I did bring the pencil soap back. But again, like, other people are copying it, or are they copying it? Maybe, maybe not. But I will say that when I met Joanna for the first time, she knew me by my pencil soap.
Mm-hmm.
So that I thought was pretty cool.
I think most makers, most people who've been around and seen the videos would know you for the pencil soaps. Like, if they saw one, they'd be like, oh, that's a warm and fuzzy thing.
Right. Yeah, that's funny.
Especially since you're a teacher.
Right. Well, and that's how I put my twist on it, is I scented it with the apple as well. So made it in the slab. I changed the way that we made the point, and I scented it like apple to...
Apple a day.
Yep.
No.
Apple for the teacher.
Would keep Shauna away.
And then I also did an apple soap. But again, everybody does apple soaps,
yep.
You know? There's a bunch of people that do the apple soaps, and they put the seeds in the middle. I don't think I'm going to do the seeds next time. I think I'm just going to do just the colors. Straight lines and colors. That's it.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah. That's my motto to everything. Keep it simple, stupid.
Right?
So.
Kiss it.
Jesse, do you have an example of some time you... I mean, I could think of someone who used your high temp hot process that you helped him through and didn't credit you at first. But.
Well, he actually did credit me in a video before the one that everybody saw.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he didn't credit me on every video, but he credited me on, like, the very first one that didn't get very many views.
Gotcha.
No.
So
I just remember saying in the comments, like, oh, so-and-so, Jesse is the queen of this method. And like, yes, she is.
Yeah, he messaged me, and, you know, was asking about, and y'all know me, I don't care who you are, if you wondering about high temperature hot process, so I'm going to help you out. Because I don't hold a patent on that method at all. Yeah. That's not nothing I invented. That's just something that I brought more
notoriety
to in the soap making world. So, I mean, I helped him, and he did a great job. He made the soap, and, you know, he did it a couple more times after that. And, you know, the first video he did tag me in. And did mention me in the video, but after that he didn't, and I was like, whatever, you know, I'm not doing it for notoriety. So, but I don't think he's made it anymore since then. Most people, they'll make it one time, once or twice, and then they're like, eh.
Now, see, the flip side of this though is that, you know, when you do get copied, or you think you've been copied, because as you said, it's very hard to be original all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen multiple people in all different arenas come out and be like, they copied me, and they throw a huge fit online and then end up with egg on their face, and then end up making them look bad by throwing out these accusations. I think you should credit people who give you inspiration when you can. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't do a blatant copy of somebody. Like,
no.
The one time that I was blatantly copied, I said whatever, and I moved on, and I've been totally fine since then. You should really be careful of how you approach it, because you're going to make yourself look bad.
Exactly.
especially if you're wrong. I actually saw a drama about a year ago at some author's thing. An author was talking about his new upcoming book that he'd been working on for years. Some other author that on this panel, who he'd never met before, never read any of her stuff, after he describes some book that he has coming out, she turns around and accuses him of copying her book. And he was like, I never even heard of your book. What are you talking about? And he turned around and he had the receipts, like all the different drafts and all the different notes with like publishers and editors and stuff for years and years and years, well before her book ever came out. And she turned around and accused him and made all these different claims about him publicly right then and there, and ended up looking horrible because she just assumed that he had copied her. And he's like, I've never even seen your or heard your book before. So
she totally looked like she showed her donkey on that one.
Yeah. It was not a good look for her.
Yeah. Yep. It's always good to just step back and breathe for a minute before you lose your cool on something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, a key takeaway might be that respecting intellectual property protects the creators and their businesses, and it goes both ways. Right.
Keeps you out of hot water.
Exactly. And so being original is essential for long-term success, but it's really hard to be original in this business. Do you know anybody that's been innovative? I mean, besides, I know that I've seen people like Julie Ophelia Sopry, when John and I were watching her and she first used
the scrapers.
Mm-hmm. I was like, did she just invent a tool? Like, mm-hmm. What? How does this even... Wow. And then seeing that, you know, the finished product had the shape in it, I was like, wow. I'm like, I think she just changed the soap business.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do that. I mean, you can't.
It is hard.
It's not like in a Tumblr business where you come up with this really cool design and such as that, and you can put it on the Tumblr and, ooh, it's the next biggest thing.
Right.
You know. This is going to sound, I'm probably going to catch a little bit of hate for this, but if you've seen one bar soap, you've seen 50 more just like it. And there's only so much you can do with it, which is why I try not. I mean, I can get a little fancy with my designs, but I'm like, it's soaps. It's going to go down the drain anyhow.
Right.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say some people get crazy creative,
yes,
complicated with their soaps. And it's like, that is super cool. This is your art. This is your medium. You choose your art.
But... Right. Like Katie with Royalty Soaps. I mean, she makes some fancy schmancy soaps with the pipe tops. And
like... Those are But some people do on the inside with embeds and shapes.
Yes.
And, like artistic.
Like that show we watched here, three or four years ago? What was the name of that show?
I don't remember, but it was a soaping show. It was not a soaping show.
Well, it was like a crafter's show.
Yeah, a crafter's show, and the first episode had soap makers competing with each other.
Yeah.
I forget who they were. Oh, gosh, and I followed
them. I don't remember. But I remember first round was like melt and pour, and it was just mind-blowing at how intricate these melt and pour soaps were. Just, whoa.
Yeah. But, you know, as a business owner, you have to think, can you mass produce that?
Exactly.
Right. No. So unless you're selling each one of those bars for a tremendous amount of money, or, you know, maybe that's just the one thing they do on camera, and they have something else that they do off.
Something to bring them in.
Right. Their passion, and then that's it. And
that's like clickbait.
Right.
That's their clickbait.
That could be clickbait.
Yeah. You know, not saying that it's, you know.
No,
just,
it definitely get them through the door. Come looking for.
And then you see that bar soap's $15 and you're like, huh, I'm not paying $15 for bar soap. Let me go get this $6 one over here.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Have you guys ever participated in the Soap Challenge Club?
No.
Not formally.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see the challenges and afterwards I'm like, oh my goodness, that's so pretty. I want to try that. And I have made a few of them. There's a few that I've done that I'm not posting as I'm part of the challenge. That's just my own personal
challenge. Just for fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what I would do too. I wouldn't actually submit them. But some of the stuff they've come up with in there. We're talking about the intricate soaps and layering and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jessie over here with her gingham soap or whatever. Holy cow. Like, seriously, you're like, how long did that take you?
That was a soap challenge one. So you've done this.
Well, I didn't know it was a soap challenge.
Oh, well, that was. So a lot of the time when you're watching like new videos, or if you're watching YouTube and you're getting your ideas, it's the soap challenge because a lot of the people who are makers are doing the soap challenge and then posting about posting that soap on their own private channel. So then that becomes the trend. Like all other people are looking at it going, wow, that's really cool. I'm going to try that too. And next thing you know, that's every video that you see. So that's why I was going to do it. I was like, wow, that one's really cool. I did not wind up trying that one though.
I think some of those people I think there are a few of them out there who try all these complicated soaps and make these things and make these long videos. And I think that is their main income more so than the soap selling the soap. I think it's the videos they're making.
It's the views on their YouTube videos. And, you know, that's another thing to consider because, I mean, y'all know as much as I do in today's economy, the more streams of income you've got coming in, the better off you are. So, I mean, if you can make bank just posting YouTube videos, which, by the way, is not easy.
No.
People be like, oh, you're just posting videos. I'm like, you don't know the half of what goes into making those YouTube videos. They are, whoa.
Just even a 1 minute video on social media is a lot of work.
Multiply that times like a 20-minute video.
Yeah,
it legit takes at least 8 hours to edit for it to be a decent video.
Right,
and then you never know how many views it's going to get.
Right.
Yep, you know, it's.
I really need to work on more long-form videos for YouTube. I'm just posting the same short ones on there.
I think I'm just starting something new. I just before this podcast, I recorded two. Not long form, not like I'm, you know, talking for a half an hour, but like 3 to 5 minute videos.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking.
What was that face?
I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't.
It's hard.
I mean, it's okay to sit here and talk right now because I'm talking to you too. But when I'm doing, that's why most of the videos that we post or that I post are just me making soap.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what to say.
I can tell you that, you know, I do mostly voiceovers online.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to delete and go back and say things again. I don't script it. So I'm just thinking this is what I want to say. And then I try to line it up with where it makes sense in the video. And Sometimes I have to say it two or three times.
Right.
To get it right.
I'll do a voiceover on the TikTok videos because they're short. So I'll take my whole entire live video and I'm just throwing that up on YouTube. I'm not even editing those anymore. Right. I just throw the entire live up there. Boom. Now it's up there. And then I edit that down to, I've been doing that for a long time. Well, I was editing them, but for about a month or so, I've just said, that's it. I'm going to cut off the beginning. I'll start when I say hello, and I'll end when I say, you know, life is short, use the good soap. So then I cut that down into a TikTok, and then I'll obviously, I have to voice over that because I went from an hour and 20 minutes to 60 seconds.
Holy crap. The last video you posted is over an hour.
I know.
Holy crap. Yeah.
I said, I go from an hour and 20 minutes to 60 seconds. But it takes so long to edit that 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do edit it a little bit.
I quit downloading my lives.
Yeah.
Because they took up so much space on my phone.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I delete them as soon as I post them to it.
Yeah. Well, what I did today and what I've been doing when I would go live and make soap, which I haven't done a whole lot here lately, I kind of took video at crucial parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got that second phone. I'd set it up, like, to do time-lapse or something like that. Like today was the hot process, so, I mean, it was just a bunch of stick blending and watching soap simmer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I time-lapsed all that and just, like, the main parts, like the additives and such as that, I did regular videos, and I'll take that and I'll edit that down and post that. But the whole live, that had been, an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, that hour and 20 minutes it's two lives together. So I'm putting the making and then I'm putting the cutting
right
in that same video.
Right.
But a lot of people leave that on as back. That's what I do. If I'm cleaning the house or something, John will throw on a YouTube video and the two of us will be cleaning the house and we'll be listening to a 40-minute Royalty Soaps video or whoever else. So right. I figure if I leave that long form up there, maybe somebody will listen to it. If they don't, I'm going to put up a YouTube short too of the same thing. So
I feel like
I'm getting it both ways.
My lives would be too awkward on YouTube because I don't have someone talking to me. In first, like, you have John talking to you and reading comments and such, where I don't have that. So I'm just like, sometimes I'm quiet, sometimes I'm like, oh, answer a question.
Well, there are a lot of people who go live and then never look at the camera.
Yeah.
So they don't respond to
anything.
Anything, but they describe what they're doing at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So those voiceovers that you're doing, you could be just doing those while you're filming the whole thing and
I could.
Saying what you're doing out loud.
My thing is I'm always listening to music.
That's another thing, too. So
and that'll kill you on YouTube.
It kills us on YouTube. They'll sometimes mute parts of it. Then I have to really sit there and edit it because that's a pain. I don't like that. But we always have music on lives.
Well, we really went off on a tangent here.
We really did.
We did.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Dirty Heifers. We hope today's conversation gave you valuable insights into protecting your work and avoiding the pitfalls of intellectual property theft. Remember, originality isn't just good for business. It's what sets you apart from the crowd. And hey, we're a new podcast, so leaving us a review is really helpful. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and then leave us that review. Follow us on all of the socials, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, all of them. And share your thoughts with us. And have you ever had to deal with copycats? We'd love to hear your story. Until next time, stay creative, stay original, and always stay dirty, heifers.